Accession number 27079, Reel 4.
Mr. Shaw, Reel 4. Again, were there any alarms on this convoy returning?
Just usual warnings to keep good lookouts and things like that. You got any odd report when you got near aircraft, but it just said unidentified. It could have been our patrols being out, you know. But you didn't hear if it was our planes or not. It was just a warning.
And which port did you return to?
Manchester. Up the Manchester Ship Canal and discharge at Salford Docks.
That must have been quite a journey as well, through canal. It's obviously a big canal.
Manchester Ship Canal, it's nothing compared to the Panama, but it was nice going up there, yes. It's unusual. You would never think of sailing into Manchester.
When you discharged your cargo, what happened then? Did you stay with the ship?
Yeah. We stayed on our 3 trips altogether.
And were you given any form of leave when you returned?
What you do is you come home and you sign off, and them that wants to leave leaves, and them that wants to come back sign back on, and you just there, you don't leave the ship at all, you just...
So obviously you liked the vessel, you know, you had this feeling for it.
Yes, yeah. She was a happy crew.
And you'll be considering that it was a lucky ship in the sense of not having any problems to date?
Well, I don't know. I don't think we ever thought about that. We just all seem to get on well together, and they used to ask one another, are you coming back next trip? And everybody seemed to be in agreement, so...
So what date would this be when you return to Manchester?
October 1940.
So the war had gone through one of its worst phases then, there being Dunkirk and so on. Did you know that there was a retreat, a withdrawal out of Europe?
We did hear. Sparky used to come down and say he'd heard this and he'd heard that on the wireless, you know.
Did it concern you at all that the war was going so badly?
No, I think we were more interested in our own predicaments, you know.
But you'd be getting...
You did get the news, like, but... and when you were in Canada there, we used to go to the cinemas and see the news bulletins. Of course, all that was new to us, and all was maybe a bit old, like, but it was new to us.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, many vessels, well, the merchant navy was beginning to suffer from quite the heavy losses. Did this kind of news come through to you as well?
Yes, you did hear about the odd ones being sunk. It's all well known. Sparky used to come down and come in onto the bridge and tell us, you know. And we always had somebody on the bridge, of course, at sea, the man at the wheel and lookouts and standby men. And he used to come down and tell us snippets of news.
What was your second convoy, job with this ship?
Same one. I was a deck boy on the second trip. I was promoted to ordinary seaman on the third trip.
And you were just carrying coal over to Halifax? Was it the same?
No, we took coal to the second trip. We took coal to Buenos Aires, of all places. Was it Buenos Aires? We took, no, we took Calder someplace in, went to Halifax again, that was it. We took coal to, not St. John's, New Brunswick. I mean, I can't remember the name of the place now.
And it was another coal.
It was another coal run, yeah. And we were sent from there. What happened was, going back across, it wasn't all that bad weather, but it was weather to, it tore the degaussing gear away off the deck. And we discharged coal. It was one of the small places in Canada, and I can't remember it for the life of me. Memory's failed us. We were sent down to Buenos Aires, and we dry docked there, and put a big pipe underneath the deck and put new degaussing all the way around the ship. We were there about 10 days. Something like that.
So this was a new port, new country, and you'd be there for a few days. What are your memories of that?
A bit of a wild place. Wild place. Interesting, though. We used to go ashore, you know, and go to cinemas and things like that. Go to seamen's missions. There's two or three different seamen's missions. Two or three countries seem to have them there. Round the dock sides, like, we're well catered for there.
You're well received?
Oh, yes, aye. Yes. We got wool jerseys and things like that when we left there. Each crew member had a parcel with his name on it, and there was a jersey and a scarf or something like that inside it. It was from the well wishers at the Seamen's Mission and that.
That brings us to the clothing that you wore, particularly in bad weather. How did you keep warm?
Jerseys.
They were thick woolen, were they?
Yeah, thick woolen jerseys, and the best wind cheater we had was an oilskin. The oilskin turns all the wind. If you were on lookout on the forecastle, then you put an oilskin on and a big jersey underneath, and you were reasonably warm. Of course, you didn't have to stand in one spot. You can walk up and down the forecastle head, you know, and just keep a lookout.
What footwear were you wearing?
If it was bad weather, we'd have sea boots on. If it wasn't, we'd just have shoes or boots on.
And obviously, effective, as you say, that you were pretty well dry and warm.
Oh, aye. Mm-hmm. Oh, as long as your deck was dry, you were okay. You were. Plus, you can walk up and down. Even if you're on the wing of the bridge on lookout, you can still, everybody walked up and down. Keeps your circulation going, keeps you warm.
And on lookout, you'd have a pair of binoculars, presumably?
Oh, aye. Yes, they'd give you a... Well, they wouldn't give you them. The binocular was there for you to use. Yes.
Was there any communications through the ship for the crew, so that an officer could send a message through, to members or to the crew?
Some ships did have a
tannoy system of that kind.
Did have a speaker in an alleyway. Most of them didn't. Later on in the war, they tended to get them. They got telephones, which were never heard of on the old steamships, you know. But later on in the war, they used to put systems in. They all said attraction for action stations, and you relied on the whistles for lifeboat drill. The ship's whistle used to blow lifeboat drills and things like that.
Did you practice action stations?
You didn't practice them, you just went home when the klaxon went. It was enough practice. Yeah. Eventually.
I was going to ask, did you know have any specific area in the ship that you went to if there was action stations?
Some ships you did, some ships you didn't, you know. Later on when we carried gunners, there was less for us to do unless it was for passing ammunition and stuff like that. And filling the the pans up for the Oerlikons and things like that.
Were these army gunners that came to you?
They were of a mixture. There was half... Generally, there was mainly army, but there used to be naval gunners on the big gun aft. Most ships carried a 4.7. And the Navy used to... They used to have a Navy gun layer aboard and his mates. And the rest of them were army. It used to man the Bofors and the Oerlikons and the Hackack gun.
But you hadn't got them as at this time that we're talking about. You hadn't got those weapons.
The Sutherland did get them. I think it was the second or third trip. But she didn't have them when we first went on. She just had the Horlicks, the Hotchkiss.
So these men would be addition to the crew?
Oh, yes. They put extra accommodation on, the built accommodation on for them. Mm-hmm.
Did they get on well with the crew? Did they mix?
Oh, yes.
I see it would be, as well, the naval gunners wouldn't, but the army would be landlubbers, in effect.
Well, they were landlubbers to start with, you know, but they got used to it. They were a good crowd of lads. Never had any trouble at all with them.
So when you left Buenos Aires, where did you go?
We went down to, further down South America, to Bahia Blanca, to load wheat.
They're quite different cargoes, hadn't you?
Exactly.
Wood, coal, wheat.
We had to hose pipe all the holes down and get all the coal dust out. And I think we had to rig shifting boards in them days, yes. Wooden partitions through the middle of the ship. It made her look like boxes to stop the grain from shifting when you're out in weather, you know.
Did this attract little creatures into the grain?
No.
You were clean?
No, they were pretty clean, aye. Yes, pretty clean.
And these cargoes you're carrying now are absolutely vital, you know, for the country itself.
Well, cargo of grain, 10,000 tonne, 11,000 tonne. We very welcomed you in the war, I would think.
Was it considered a light cargo or a heavy cargo?
Oh, it's a solid cargo.
So you left there with your grain, and was it again back to Halifax to get into
back
the
back to Halifax, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this would be your second convoy coming back.
Yeah.
And again, any scares or
no?
Particularly,
we had a bit of bad weather coming over, but just the usual warnings.
So you've been pretty lucky up to now with your convoys anyway. So, I mean, some of them would be under pretty severe
attack. Some of them had a bad time going over. The one before maybe, or the one after, you heard about them. And you would meet lads, you know, different lads, seamen's missions and that. And they would tell you what was going on. A convoy before, there was about six or eight ships sunk. And you sailed through the same patch and there was nothing. Marvellous.
Did it bother you, the fact that out there, lurking out there, could be some form of danger?
No, it didn't seem to... bother us. It made you more alert. You watched everything.
And you brought your wheat to which port?
Greenock. I don't know where we went to Greenock and we took the wheat to Belfast. That's where we took the wheat now, I remember. I was wondering why we landed at Greenock. We went into Greenock and they sent us over to Belfast. We discharged cargo in Belfast.
And then, of course, you were then preparing for your third convoy on this vessel.
Aye.
And which one was that? Where did you go with that one?
Alexandria.
Well, loaded. What date was this then?
41. June 41. I was loaded war supplies, and it was just a general mixed cargo of war supplies, and we went to Alexandria via Cape Town because we couldn't get through the Medi. That was a long trip.
And life on board the vessel for on such a long trip, you know, you oh, I know you got your work,
if it's good weather, you've got you could be painting for a week, you know. If there was any sign of rust, with it being a new ship when we joined, and the mate wanted everything spick and span, and you had the chipping hammers out, or you had the paint pots out. If the bridge was a bit mucky, you would have Suji Muji buckets out and washing everything down.
And when you moved into the tropics, the really hot areas, your clothing would need to change. What were you wearing in the hot climate?
You used to make yourself a pair of shorts out of old dungarees. Or
there was none kind of officially issued to you?
Oh, no, nobody issued. You provided all your own gear at sea. If you didn't take it with you, you didn't have it.
The ports that you called in on the way there, do you recall any of them?
Cape Town.
You didn't stop until you got to Cape Town?
Didn't stop until we got to Cape Town.
And again, was this a convoy?
No, we went independently down there to Cape Town, and we called in for bunkers at Cape Town.
That's loading coal for you?
No, she was a motor ship, loading oil.
Oil.
Oil bunkers. We called in there, yeah. We were there 2 days, because we got ashore at night time.
How were they received? How did they receive you?
Oh, they were okay, but it was strict apartheid then. You had one bar, and there was a door at each end, and one was for black and one for white. You couldn't go in their door, they couldn't go in yours. It was the same like that all over the place.
What were your feelings about that? I mean, it was a strange thing from coming from a country that didn't have it.
Well, we knew about it before we got there, because the old hands told us. You know, you'll always get somebody who's been somewhere before. You go to some funny places in the corner of the world and somebody's been there before you, you know, knows about it. And word gets passed on. We knew about it before we got there. It was a bit strange, like, you know.
Sure, you yourselves wouldn't be able to mix with the coloured people,
no,
presumably.
No, you weren't. you weren't supposed to mix at all, no.
Then back to the ship, and where'd you go then? Up the Red Sea?
We went up the Red Sea.
That's pretty hot.
Oh, that is hot. It's something I always liked, is the hot weather. Still do. I used to really enjoy that. And we were there nearly 2 weeks. Because we went there, and of course you've got to anchor before you go through the canal. And we were just pulling up to the anchorage, steaming up to the anchorage, and something happened to the brake on the windlass. And the anchor just slipped and let go. And it let go, we were going ahead. The anchor hit the bottom, we went ahead. And it smashed the shackle in the bottom of the locker, and the whole cable ran out. We lost an anchor and the cable. And they wouldn't let us go through the canal. And they shoved us down the coast a few miles. To a creek where we just anchored and lay there. There was nobody there, there was nothing. It was just sand dunes. And they wouldn't give us permission to go through at all. And in the end, the mate and the skipper were that bored that we dropped the lifeboats in the water. And went for a sail around the bay with the boats and break the monotony. There was absolutely nothing there. We went ashore and you climbed up on the sand dunes and you looked and there was more sand dunes.
And none of the natives in sight?
Not a soul. Not a soul.
Well, how long then did you have to wait before your repairs?
We were there nearly a week. We anchored in Port Tewfik for 4 or 5 days and they sent us down and we were there out of the way for a week. And then we got word that we could go through in the end. They let us go through and we went through to Alexandria and discharged war stuff. And we had some coal aboard as well, I remember. And because I remember seeing them walking down the baskets, with the baskets down the gangway and up another one and down.
Now they unloaded with baskets there, the natives?
Yes, in this particular place where we're lying. They unloaded it with baskets. It was marvellous to watch. You'd think they'd never get it emptied, and they emptied it in no time. Marvellous. And a stream of them, like they were like ants. And we loaded cotton seeds there. We loaded cotton seed and brought it back home. We loaded something else and I can't remember what it was. Main cargo was cotton seed.
The war supplies you mentioned, do you recall what the kind of supplies
were? I can't remember what they were. There was an awful lot, seemed to be an awful lot of cases. Stuff you wouldn't know what was in them anyway.
What was Alexandria like?
Interesting. It seemed to be full of what we thought was seemed to be full of men with nightshirts and full of gilly-gilly men. These were magicians that goes around and gets an egg out here and things like that, you know. Chickens running all over the place. That was very interesting.
They pester you to buy things?
Oh, everybody wants you to buy something, yeah.
Must have been a lot of military people around in Alexandria.
There was a lot of Australians there. I remember the Australians, they used to get drunk at night and get these horses and garages and chase the driver away, and they used to load up with 10 or 12 of them in a garage and tear down the main street. Stone mad they were. They were good entertainment though. Yes.
Any sign of the war whilst you were there?
No, not while we were there, there wasn't, no. No, we never saw any sign of war at all.
And it was in this third voyage with the ship that you were promoted, I think you said.
I signed on again in Greenock as ordinary seaman.
And what's
the last time we changed out? Every time you come home, you change the articles. And they said you can have an ordinary seaman's job.
And what does an ordinary seaman do that a deckhand didn't do?
Nothing, but he got more money.
So it's the same work with getting more money.
And when you go from ordinary seaman to AB, you do the same work and get more money. It's just a step up the ladder with more money.
But could you order the deckhand around, or could you give orders?
Well, you could do, but you know, you were more or less all mucking in together.
So how long were you in Alexandria?
Pardon?
How long were you in Alexandria?
I think we were in about a fortnight altogether, roughly a fortnight there. And we left there and went back down through the canal to Port Tewfik, where they'd managed to fish our cable and anchor off the bottom. And we got that ship back aboard, so we were okay again. We had two anchors again.
And from there, where did you go?
Back to Cape Town. And we loaded something in the deep tanks in Cape Town, but I can't remember what it was. I don't know. We bunkered there and we loaded something in the deep tanks.
And was then back to England?
Back to England.
Again, on your own, no convoy?
We picked a convoy up. We picked a convoy up at Freetown, North Africa. I think it was more luck than judgment. I don't know, we're going past and we seemed to join a convoy. Nobody knew anything about it.
You didn't call it Freetown, you just picked the convoy up?
Just picked a convoy up there.
And again, a quiet journey back, was it? No problems?
No, there was no problem there. No, we came back to Cardiff of all places.
You certainly get round the ports, didn't you? You didn't.
Oh, you never knew where you were going. No, and you could be going somewhere and you'd get orders to change maybe twice before you got there. Sometimes you had to turn back and retrace your steps to go to another place. You know, they were making their minds up where they wanted stuff.
And what date was this that you got back to Cardiff?
Got back to Cardiff, 15th of April, 1942.
So far you've had these convoys and been very fortunate that nothing's occurred.
Not a thing. Oh, no, it wasn't 15th of April. It was the 19th of November, 1941. Cardiff.
What happened there? Did we? This is your third voyage on this ship, and did you leave it then?
Yes, yes, we paid off most of the crew left her. Yeah.